a very true song that talks about that in the midst of your trials and tribulations, you ought to take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. You know, a lot of times God gives us ways out, but we don't want His way because His way sometimes don't have the results that we're really looking for. But in that song it says, if you're heavy laden and burdened, don't you try to do something. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus Christ. And this morning our lesson is in reference to our friendship day. And I want to show you a lady that understand what friendship meant. This lady, Jesus had taken out of sin. That all she wanted to know is, where is my friend? I asked you that question this morning. Where are your friends at? Hmm? How many of y'all got some friends?
Amen.
Where they at?
Okay.
And I want to show you a lady here that was so dedicated to her friend that she would do some things that people would say she's crazy. But when you're motivated by friendship, when you're motivated, and see, friendship is only motivated by the love you have for that friend. That's right. And so the more you love that individual, the more you're motivated, and the more your friendship grow in Christ Jesus. I'm going to show you something. In John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, the Bible, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. Jesus says, when you really love him, you're willing to lay down your life for a friend. But see, that doesn't come overnight. That is something that one must learn to develop. It's just like walking with the Lord. See, you don't go in the watery grave and come out and automatically walk the Christian walk. Some do, some don't. But see, it's a process. And so Jesus says, if you love me, verse number 14, he says, ye are my friend, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servant, but a friend. If you are, and whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servant, but a, for the servant know not his Lord's needs, but I call you friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And so Jesus says that if you really love him, you're going to do what? Keep his commandments. And I want to show you this lady this morning that understood relationship, that understood friendship, that even in the midst of her darkest moment, she knew that she had a friend in Jesus Christ. How about us? In your darkest moments when nobody's around, what friend do you really have? And see, and the only reason you can have the right friend is you got to have a right relationship with him. And I want to show you this lady that was motivated and was driven by love. And her love took her beyond her friendship to where she was able to seek the Lord regardless. So where's your friend this morning? In John chapter 20, and round about verse number 1. Mary Magdalene, in which Jesus had cast out 7 devils, was here after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. She's looking for her friend. She don't know where her friend is at, but she hasn't lost track of looking for her friend. Don't miss that. How many of us got some friends that we've lost track of? How many friends in our own household have we lost track of? See, because I want to show you this lady here, she never lose focus on why she's doing what she's doing. Some folks say she's crazy. Most of us would probably say after you read this that she's a little out of her mind. But she has a relationship with this friend, and she wants to know where he's at. The Bible says in verse number 1, the first day of the week came, Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And seeing that the stone was taken away from the sepulchre, she ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and I know not where they have laid her. Boy, this woman here is motivated. This woman here is at the cemetery while it's dark. Half of us won't go to the cemetery when it's light, let alone while it's dark. But see, when you're motivated, when you're driven by a friendship or by a relationship with someone, it'll cause you to do some things that people might think that you're half crazy. Mary Magdalene understands that Jesus is the Son of God. He's cast out these demons out of me, and I show him my loyalty, my love, my concern for him, because he's been crucified. I got to get to the sepulcher. And when I get there, the stone is taken away. Where's the disciples? Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because she got to go find the boys. Amen, Walls. Don't leave that alone. That ain't part of the lesson. The Bible says she ran to Simon Peter's house. And she tells them that they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. And I don't know where they've taken them. And you know, it's just like you and I. You know, once you get some good gossip. You ever had some good gossip? Don't look at me like I mean some good juicy gossip. Boy, you got to tell somebody, don't you? The news is they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. I don't know if the boys really believed that he was going to resurrect. But the Bible says when they tell them that, look at the attitudes. The Bible says in verse number 3, Then Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and they came to the sepulcher, and they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came to the sepulcher, and he stooped down and he looked in, sawing that the linen cloth lied, yet he went not in. Then come Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher, and seeing the linen cloth lying and the napkin that was about his head and laid with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in that place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. That's some powerful stuff. Been with Jesus almost 3.5 years. Walked on water with the Lord. Saw the miracles. Saw the magistrate of God. Went to the sepulcher, but were afraid to death to go in. But Peter was like you and I. You know, he carries a knife, cuss you out at the drop of a hat. He ain't afraid of too much. The Bible said he went in, saw the linen clothes lying there. And the Bible said they did what? What's that next word? They did what? They believed. They didn't understand who he really was. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 10, then the disciples went again unto their own house. But I want you to look at Mary, because she understands friendship. She understands loyalty. She understands obedience. She understands commitment. How about us? We're your friend this morning. What a friend we have, who?
In Jesus.
Can you really sing that? Can you really say that?
Yes.
But I believe Mary can, because Mary understood the importance of serving the Lord. I'm saying all of this because we're talking about a friend today. And if we're talking about a friend, Jesus says that you are my friend if we what? Keep his commandments. And what is his commandments? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. If he's always with us, then are we really living up to the friendship that we have in him? Verse 11, the Bible says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping, and she wept, stood and stooping down and looked into the sepulcher, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lied. interesting. See, because when you have a friend in Jesus, you look for him. Mm-hmm. Amen. You don't look for the preacher, you look for Jesus. And when Jesus shows up, guess what? He gives you the comfort and the need of your everyday life. I don't know why the boys didn't see the angels. I don't know why the boys had to see and then believe. But the Bible says Mary stooped down, looked in the sepulchre, and she saw two angels. One at the head, one at the feet. I wonder if that's a message to you and I. When trials or tribulations face in our everyday life, who do we really see? Do we see the trial, the tribulation, or do we see the victory that we have in Christ Jesus? Because if we see the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, can't nothing stop us. Can't nothing hinder us. But are we like the boys? Stoop down, and then we believe, and we went on back to our own homes. But I want you to see a woman that is motivated by love. She is driven by friendship. She is driven by a Savior that has cast out these seven devils. And as a result of that, she knows that he is who he say he is. The Bible says in verse number 13, and they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? See, she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. Oh, I could spend the next 2 hours on that. How many of us have taken away the Lord? He's not in our homes like he should be. Amen, walls. He might not be in our lives like he should be. But let all hell break loose and boy, that's the first thing out of our mind. Lord, help me. But have you taken him away? How about even in the church? Have we? Y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve. Yeah. Have we taken God even out of his own palace? We're going to assemble around this table. What does that mean? I can come any way I feel like it and partake. No, because you've taken him away. The Bible says, Mary told the angels, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him. Powerful, because Mary is concerned about Jesus. Have you asked yourself lately, have I taken him away out of my life? When it's time to serve him, have I taken him away and made some excuses to put something else in the way? Uh-huh. Mary here is not discouraged because the boys went back home. Mary's not discouraged because they see and believe. Mary has a relationship with her Jesus. Yes. How about us? Where's our relationship? And I'm going to tell you something. When the rubber meets the road, you better know where they've taken Jesus. Because if you don't, you'll throw up both hands and I'll probably read about you. Amen. Mary here is concerned about where they've taken Jesus. Not only is she concerned, I want to show you that when you're concerned about Jesus in your life, it requires action. Amen. I'll say that again. It requires you getting off the pew, getting in the street. Amen, walls. Where was I at yesterday? I went to Long Beach, sidebar. I went to Long Beach. Where's Long Beach? We're driving through the neighborhoods. And I tell you the truth, I never saw so many people out there trying to preach Jesus Christ and all the date. I looked at my wife, she looked at me, and I said, Lord, have mercy. Almost on every corner, someone was talking about Jesus Christ. And they had these young men out there on bicycles saying, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I know we do. But church, that's scary. To know that someone's doing the job that God has commissioned you and I to do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. What's your commandment, Jesus? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Luke 19 verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says, now I have left you an example. Follow me. Imitate me. The Bible says Mary tells them, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have taken him. And when she had said, and when she had thus said, she turned back and saw Jesus standing and knew that it was not him. But watch this. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom do thou seek?" Why y'all come this morning? Who y'all seeking for? That's the same question Jesus asked Mary Magdalene. And the Bible says, and she's supposing that he was the gardener. And I know the Bible said that he might be a gardener. Matter of fact, the prophet said he is the lily of the valley. You don't know why I'm happy? Read your Bible. The Bible says she supposed he was the gardener and said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will go get some brethren and we can help him." Come, go get him. No, that ain't what that said. She says, "Tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." See, when you have a relationship with God, can't nobody take him from you. And when they take him from you, you know where to go. Mary here is motivated. She's driven by love for her Lord and Savior. She tells Jesus, "Just tell me where you're taking him. How this little bitty woman gonna take a big old man?" See, when you're motivated, you can move mountains.
That's right.
Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, "Be thou moved." Church, somewhere down the line, our relationship to God has to be so strong that nothing can move us but our own self. The Bible says, Mary said, "Just tell me where you laid him. I'll go get him. Don't need no help." See, and that's how it has to be. When you're serving God, how many of y'all need some help? Somewhere down the line, you're supposed to help somebody else, or you're not?
Yeah.
The Bible goes on to say, and Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go ye and tell my brethren, and say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father, and to your Father, and to your God, and to my God, and to your God." And Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he has spoken these things unto her. Where is the Lord in your everyday lives? Church, I'm a firm believer that things that happen to us on this time side of life happens for a reason. And the reason is to give God the glory and the honor that's due him. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, all things exist through Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, for him. And so if we have been made for the purpose to glorify God, where is your friend this morning? Mary Magdalene understood friendship. She understood relationship. She understood this because she was driven by the love for her Savior. And when it came time to act, she didn't need any help. How about you this morning? Somewhere down the line, God's going to call us into play. And when he calls us, don't look for me. No, you better look to him. That's going to give you the strength and encouragement that you need. Amen. Mary Magdalene is the individual that can answer the question, where is your friend? She was so motivated and enthused by friendship, by relationship, that when she came to the tomb early in the morning while it was yet dark, she had but one thing on her mind, and that was, where is my Lord and Savior? Hope and pray this morning you've come but for one purpose. That's to glorify God. To give the credit that's due him. And as you prepare to leave this morning, leave with the commitment that Mary had. They've taken away my Lord out of America. Amen. That's why the world's in the mess that it is. We've taken him out of our homes, out of the church, and we've even taken him out of our own personal lives. Until we put him where he belongs, in our lives, why you think life is pretty miserable? How is it that individuals can go through all kinds of things and remain steadfast and unmovable? Because they understood who's really in control. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says some interesting things, and I've often wondered, how is it that you get to this point, Paul, to where you're not worried about anything but making heaven your home? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, And round about verse number 7, I'm concluded that this is what Paul understood. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That helped me to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. Paul says, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul is like Mary Magdalene. He understood the relationship that he must have with his Lord. Church, I pray that as this year continues to unfold, and we're already halfway through the year, remember those resolutions you made? Remember those commitments you said you were going to do?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about whether you made them to me, but you made them to somebody that has more power than I have. And I want to encourage you that as this year continues to unfold, church, we stop and ask ourselves some questions. Where is my friend? Or should I say, who is my friend? Because if Jesus is your friend, guess what? It should be demonstrated, it should be played out in your everyday life. Your life should be a living testimony of who Christ is. That doesn't mean you don't fall short of his glory. That doesn't mean that you always do things right, but that means that you try your best to show the world that Jesus is alive and well because you can see him inside of me.
Amen.
Church, I hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Every time I read the story about Mary Magdalene, it just brings chills to my body. And you know why? Because I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Yeah, you don't look at me funny. I know I'm a preacher. You ain't there either. Probably. Some of you might be. But church, when it's time for kingdom business, and that's exactly what this was. Mary didn't worry about Mary. The only thing that was on her mind is, where have you taken my friend? Just tell me where he's at. I'll go get him myself. And I hope and pray this morning that you will take an inventory of your life, because death is on its way for each and every one of us. And you know, and maybe because I am getting a little older, and I know, Brother Henderson, you say you're just a pup. But I'm learning that when it's time to leave here, it don't care. It don't care about your age. It don't care about your color. It don't care how many dollars you got. That's right. When he calls, ain't no putting on hold. You know how you don't want to answer? Oh, no, I don't talk to him. Oh, no. Oh, no. When it's time and he calls, you don't even have to answer. He going to come get you. And church, and when he comes get you, where you going to spend eternity? See, if we're lost, it's because of our own doing. And I've learned this. I've learned that you or nobody else can cause me to lose my soul but me. That's right. And so I'm learning to keep my eyes on the cross and not you. Because if I keep my eyes on the cross, I'll know the example that not everyone's going to be saved. Only those that are going to follow the Lord. And I want to encourage you, church. Somewhere down the line, there's got to be some changes in our everyday life. If we are the light of the world, what does the world really see? Yeah. I told them Wednesday night, everybody else is out the closet. When are we coming out? When are we going to show the world that there's a better way?
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is alive and well, because you can see it inside of us. And I'm learning that it's one person at a time. And if you become the light, guess what? We can change the world in which we live in. Why? Because God has promised to be with us. In this text, Mary Magdalene, and you go back and you read about Mary, because a lot of people didn't want to be bothered with Mary.
Amen.
Because Mary was the woman that most men, come on y'all act like y'all don't know the story.
Yes, sir.
And most women didn't want to be bothered with her. But Jesus went beyond her physical.
That's right.
And can see the spiritual part of Mary. Same thing he do with you and I. I'm not all that I should be, but I'm so thankful to God that I ain't like I used to be.
Amen.
That's right. And so that motivates me. That drives me to try to do the very best I can. And I hope and pray as we prepare to do our song of invitation, that each and every one of us look at our relationship to God. I know because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel, and we've been in this thing 15, 20 years, that we got it all together. Now, I wish I could tell you that. No. No. Every one of us falls short of the glory of God. That's right. And somewhere down the line, you got to confess that to yourself. And then sometimes you got to confess that publicly. That I messed up. You know, you always hear me tell you that, huh? Why? Because I'm not ashamed to tell you that I mess up. Yeah, I got a halo. But sometimes the horns outseed. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Sometimes the horn are more powerful than the halo. But I'm learning from Mary that if I just keep my eyes on Jesus, everything will be all right. For those of you that are members of the body of Christ, I hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart. I want to remind you that judgment begins right here at the house. And Peter says we're going to scarcely make it. Why? Because we know the truth. And if we know the truth, then we know what to do, right? I want to encourage you, falling short of the glory of God, repent. Get on the right track. It's just that simple. Those of you that are visiting that are not part of the body of Christ, you've heard the word this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you must believe that this is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin. Luke 13:5. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. To those of us who are members of the body of Christ, that's an ongoing confession. We confess him every day. Yeah. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible says we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. Contrary to popular belief that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Good conscience means that when you go in the watery grave and come up, God washes away all of your sins. He gives you a brand new start in life. And boy, I tell you, when I heard that a few years back, I ain't tell you how many, but when I heard it a few years back, I told the preacher, take me to the water. Why? Because it was in that watery grave. God cleaned me up. You might have kept a record. And that's what I like about God. He just washes away all of your sins, and he makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 988, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together with your family today. Our song is encouragement.